Hi, everyone. Welcome to TED Talks. Today we have Sabrina with us. And so would you like to tell us a bit about you?
Oh, sure. My name is Sabrina Sterling. I am a technology instructional specialist in Southeast Georgia. I have been in this position going on 20 years. When I first started, I taught teachers how to use technology in the classroom. And in the past several years, I've actually focused more on our longitudinal database or warehouse for testing, where we take and consolidate student data to help project success on state tests, as well as get them the remediation, acceleration, enrichment, and other services that they need for their instruction. I have a background in early childhood education and instructional technology, as well as teaching and learning. And came to typology as a result of working at a before and after school program many, many years ago, and learned about the Myers-Briggs. And I remember taking the test because we had, it was team building activity. And I remember reading the results and going, well, this isn't me. This doesn't make me sound very nice. It actually says I sometimes hurt people's feelings. And knowing that I'd never do that, I was like, it's not legit. And a coworker of mine said, well, sometimes you hurt my feelings. I was like, what do you mean? She said, I ask your opinion and you tell me. And it was the very first time I realized that sometimes when people ask your opinion, the way you deliver it might need to be reframed. And I remember the facilitator saying, okay, Sabrina, to look at your results, you're a thinker. She's a feeler. And I'm thinking, okay, she said, but I'm going to give you a little tip. She said, I want you to think of a Big Mac. Big Mac has a bun, it has meat, it has a bun in the middle, it has meat, and then it ends with a sesame seed bun. I'd like you to start giving your feedback that way. That bun is something positive. The meat is the meat. The next bun is something positive. Then you add a little meat and then end on a positive note. And while I rolled my eyes, I was like, okay, well, it helped. And around that same time, I was telling my father about it. And he said, oh, that sounds like something we're using in our work for team building. And he gave me a copy of Please Understand Me by David Kersey. And that having that book in my hand really just opened up so much for me. And it really helped me understand a lot about temperament and how the things that we value, other people may not. And it's not that they don't value us, it's just they approach things a little differently. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, one of my other coworkers said, I'm so glad we did that test. And I was like, why? She said, you don't roll your eyes at me anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, you really want me to get to the point. And I was like, well, yeah. She said, every time I started with something a little too fluffy, you do like this. I was like, I did not realize. I was like, no. And she said, you really want it. And so, like I said, ever since then, it has definitely, it's been a part of my life. And having Please Understand Me in particular, because that book was accessible, it expanded my knowledge. And then plus, I want to say in like the mid-90s, David Mark Kersey, Dr. Kersey's son, put the test online. And I think that was sort of the beginning of folks going online to take it. And I think it's exploded in a good way.
That's really helpful. And so, Sabrina, you have a presentation that you're looking to share with everyone. And so I'm excited to feature your wonderful mind on today's stage. And so I'm going to pull it up right now.
Okay. This comes from Personality Lingo, which is the system that I am currently using, or I use most often. I started with True Colors and Mary Massison, who is the author of Showing Our True Colors and also the book Personality Lingo, developed this. This is an offshoot of the original True Colors. And so True Colors is a system that's actually based on the Kersey Temperament Sorter. And what Don Lowry, who was a drama teacher, did was he loved Kersey's work, but he felt that it needed a little bit of oomph to it to make it more fun and more accessible. And so he took the temperaments as Kersey had described them, the artisan, the guardian, the rational, and the idealist. And he renamed them with colors because he felt that metaphorically it would be easier to remember. So if you look at the first one, the connectors, those are your idealists. Those are folks that are primarily blue. Now we have what we call the true blue, which would be the NF personality or the NF temperament. And then you have those that might be a blend with blue in another color. For example, if someone was, say, a blue gold, then they might not be an NF, they might be an SF. Your gold are your planners. That would be your SJ or guardian temperament as defined by Kersey. NT are your thinkers as defined by Kersey or rationals. And your SP are the movers. And so by using those terms, it makes it a little bit easier for students to remember because they're not trying to think rational idealists. They can go green, gold, orange, blue. And if you use personality lingo, you can extend that. Blue, we're connectors. Gold, we're planners. Green, we're thinkers. And orange, we're movers. And so that adds a little bit more vocabulary, a little bit more description to it. And again, makes it very accessible. And what they'll do in True Colors is they will take and allow the students to sort their colors in the order in which they feel that best represents them. But your connectors, like I said, typically idealists, but could also be some guardians with feeling preferences. Planners, guardians. Movers, artisans. Your thinkers typically are your abstract thinkers, if that's their primary. But you might have a few, depending on what the secondary is, that might fit in the that might have some concrete preferences in there. And so it's possible that you'll have some ISTJs that, although they're a guardian by Kersey, may identify more a little bit as a thinker so than a planner, as it's defined by True Colors. But you, as you get into it, you'll recognize that when you start looking at those primary and secondaries, you see those connections to Myers-Briggs kind of work out.
And so thank you, Sabrina, for opening up your topic with a little bit of background information for my audience so that they're able to understand what you're presenting. And so we will go to her main presentation now.
So one of the things that I would love to share is I'm an advocate and a cheerleader for using typology or type theory in education with students. And that can start, in my opinion, working with students from kindergarten all the way up through high school, but the way that we do it will vary based on the age of the students. I want to tell you a little story about what made me decide that this is something that we could use with students. Back in 2006, when my son was in fourth grade, he heard me talking about us doing a workshop called True Colors. And True Colors, if you look at the history, it is Myers and Kersey's temperament made a little bit more accessible and fun through changing the technical jargon to things that they felt are colors or metaphors that they felt would be easy to remember. But the foundation of it is still the same. So anyway, he heard me talking about it, and we had done it as a workshop. I was relatively new in my position, and the lady that I shared an office with and I, we got to talking, you know, we were both somewhat the oddballs in education. I'm an NT and she's an SP. And most of the other teachers, they tend to be idealists or guardians or NF SJs. And so in the course of the conversation and me telling how successful it was, my son was listening in the background. And so when all of the adults left, he said, "Tell me about that color people thing." I'm like, "Color people thing? What are you talking about?" He said, "You know, the green people and the blue people." And I was like, "Oh, True Colors." And he said, "Yeah, why did you do that?" And so I went and I explained it to him again. I said, "It's a really good way to help people understand who you are, the things that you like. And it also helps you recognize those things in other people so that you can work together more effectively." Well, being true to his type, another NT said, I want to take the test. No, first he goes, what type am I? And I looked at him and I said, green, gold, orange, blue. He said, how do you know? And so I've been doing it a long time now. I know these things. And of course, I'm his mother, so I've got a little leverage there too. And so being true to his type, he wanted his own data. He said, I want to take the test. And so he takes it. And of course, it said green, gold, orange, blue. And he said, wow. He says, you were right. And so then he starts to read the descriptions. And he's going through and he's like, blue. Those are the good kids. They never have to move their peg at school. Then he goes to orange. He goes, orange is always on red. And then he got to gold and he got really serious and his posture stood up and he said, gold. He said, is gold for being like in the military, mom? Is dad gold? Dad's in the military. And I said, yes, your father is 100% gold. I said, which is of course the guardian. And I said, okay. And then he goes, you know, we go to karate to learn how to be gold. And I said, yeah, you actually get a lot of discipline in karate. And then when he got to the green, his face got funny. And I said, Will, what's wrong? He said, I am green. And I said, well, I told you. So the next day he comes home and he's serious as a heart attack. He said, yeah, I had to have a talk with my teacher today. And I was like, what do you mean you had to have a talk with your teacher? He was trying to put us in these cooperative groups. And I had to explain, I'm a green, I don't do groups. I said, Will, what did your teacher say? He said, I'm a green too, Will, go get in your group. And it worked out great. Like, but it got me thinking that students really can become advocates for their own instructional needs. It doesn't mean that they're going to get everything that they want at the time that they want, but it definitely was an opportunity to open up conversations. And as a matter of fact, my son said to me that, you know, he said, you know, you need to make sure that all the kids know how to do this and all the teachers at every school. Now, of course, I was not going to go out and try to do that in an instant, but it was at that point that I started looking for opportunities to make that happen. And my first classes that I did with students actually started in a, so sort of like an after-school program that one of the local teachers had. It was an etiquette academy that she started because she wanted to help students learn traditional manners. This is a very, very gold or guardian SJ teacher. And she thought maybe if they come in and learn these things that it could help within the classroom. And so when we got to talking, I said, you know, we probably could try True Colors. And so she said, oh, okay. So then that became a thing. I mean, she offered a class each month. And so for about 18 months, I did a class a month with those small groups. And what was funny was the first couple of classes, I was like this, you know, I wanted to tell them about the history and the details. And while they were patient with me, I don't know that they got it until I had one little girl that piped up and said, oh, that's the Ninja Turtles. And it was at that moment that I realized, wait a minute, I'm sitting here giving these kids a whole bunch of abstract concepts and ideas, and they're sort of getting it. But what if I changed the focus and used characters that they liked as a springboard for conversation? And so it was around that time that I went back to my son and I said, okay, Will, if you were to look at the Ninja Turtles and try to organize them by true colors, do you think that would work? And he goes, oh yeah. And so he boom, 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 came out and listed them that real, like, right off the top of his head. So I jokingly say that he became my consultant. And every time that I was getting ready to teach a class, I would have him actually help me with the presentation in terms of picking some of the more popular pop culture references and things that were popular at that time. And these were four that we started off with, which most of the kids were familiar. Now I'm going to emphasize he's 26 now. So we started with these four here because they were easy for kids to identify with. The Wizard of Oz, I think, is a classic, and most kids across all generations know who the characters are. Scooby-Doo has been brought back several times in different iterations, if you will. Harry Potter was really the thing. You know, the movies had come out maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years prior. And of course, the Ninja Turtles were, like I said, very popular. So in the course of conducting newer workshops, by starting with these four, with four types, after they had gone through the test and the card sort, and we had a discussion, we would go to, can you guess the types? Now, I want to give you a little bit of an idea of what that looks like with students. With older students, there's a True Colors assessment that you can take. You can take them online. They also have paper pencil versions of True Colors. But with younger students, there are True Colors cards that are very helpful. I don't know if you've ever seen these. Yeah, so you have sorting cards. So this is one set. This is by Personality Lingo or Mary Mississon. And so what the students would do with this is they look at the activities that are on the front, and then they read what's going on in the back. And then they put them in the order, if you will, order of operation the one they like most to the one that they like least. And it gives you a lot of insight. It's very simple, very non-invasive. There's even a set that I did with my grandson when I discovered the cards, and he was about four when we did these, and I kept them because I wanted to show you with this one here, this was just paper, and he circled the ones that he liked. And so he loves science. He loves everything that involves people. Gold is not his color. Well, there's one thing, and he liked baseball. And then he was not about this life. This was not how. So, but what's interesting is that as he's now going to be 9 years old, he has a teacher father and a champion idealist mother. So you see, when you look at that, I could tell back then, I'd say he's got a lot of blue, a lot of feeling, but he also has a preference for abstraction as well. So I'm thinking he's probably going to be an idealist or an NF. Don't know for sure, but at this point, it's not that we're looking for that as much as developing the ability to discuss the things that we like so that we can get our needs met. And again, these are the little kid cards. But true colors, depending on, you know, which version of the cards that you get, they have some. They have some for high school, look like this, but more where they have the occupations in there. And then again, like I said, details on the back that give them, you know, their core values or list of core values. So again, that the students can lay them out on the table or on their desk and say, okay, this is my preference. And then they look at what the second one is. And then, like I said, then the other two, we don't really focus on as much, other than I do make a point of saying that as you get older, as you enter a job, depending on the people that you have in your life, you may have other opportunities to do some of these things and build an interest in them. You're not obligated to like them. But again, when you're looking at these things and giving them a language allows them to explain their needs a lot better.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. It's really interesting to learn about a company who combines True Colors and an MBTI too. So yeah.
Mary Mississon was, she's an MBTI practitioner, and she also was part of True Colors back when Don Lowry, and I hope I'm not speaking out of term when I say this, but well, at least very close to the onset when he had it. Now it's been sold, and there's another folks that are owning another company that owns it now, but it's still staying true to the original theory. It's just different people that are operating it on the back end. But going back to that, when we look at these different, like I said, different types, usually in groups of four, and you'll see that in many shows that have four archetypal characters, they represent the four temperaments. And so again, it gets the kids talking, and then one of the things that I love to do with them is, like I said, talk about the types, and then every so often we will We'll talk about the subtype or the, you know, the next type. This slide here is one of the favorites. After we have gone through, I ask them if they can guess the teachers, because in turn, I want them to start recognizing characteristics in their own teachers. And they love this. They immediately know that Miss Honey on the far right, she's the blue. She's sweet. She's loving, nurturing, caring. Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus, immediately they know that she's an orange. Professor McGonagall, and I have a quote in here, you know, she's tough, tough as nails, but loves those kids. They know that she's the gold. She's the guardian. And Yoda is one. It really depends on the students. I've noticed that you'll have some that'll immediately say he's green because he's analytical. But then the more astute students will say, but you know, he's very compassionate and he's very idealistic. So I think he's probably like a mixture of green-blue or blue-green, which then lets me know they're ready to start thinking about more complex ways of looking at type. We're not just one. We are often a blend of two that people can see once they talk or interact with us. Now, I threw this slide in here because it came, part of this comes from my research that I did. My dissertation was on the relationship between temperament and technology proficiency with middle school students. And I got the interest for it because one of the things that I, when I look back, when I first took, I took a class called Conditions of Learning. And when I say that, that teacher had me so excited about the future because I was looking at, yeah, technology is going to be the way. It's going to, you know, bridge gaps. It's going to solve everything. I read every book by every futurist. I'd never read every single required reading in a course in my life until that class. And one of the things that they said back then, and it's changed now, is that you have digital natives and digital immigrants. Digital immigrants would be adults who were alive and in the workforce when a piece of technology was invented. A digital native, that technology was around before they were born. And there was this misguided notion that all kids love technology. And when I finished my degree in instructional technology, oh, so excited, got my first computer apps job, and realized that's not really the case. There's some that they like it, but it's not what I had imagined that it was going to be. I thought that, you know, we were going to have kids that were just going to be eating this stuff up. And I could never quite put my finger on what it was. Well, I did a comparison between an engineering class and a business apps class, test scores, and their scores on the True Colors with each one of the measures. And one of the things that I could not understand is I said, well, you know, it's not that it's the NT and it's not really the artisan. And I showed this to Ben, and Ben immediately said, oh, where you've got that ultimate techie, that's TI. And then it hit me, you know, as a diehard Kersey person, I understand cognitive functions, but it wasn't something that I incorporated in my instruction because, well, you know, I just didn't. And then I realized, wait a minute. After looking at the descriptions, we don't call these in TI, TE, SI, SE in instructional technology, in education. They're given other names, but all eight of those functions are used. And so it was at that point that I really started incorporating more activities and discussions using students that had characters that had blends, because that would give us an opportunity to start thinking about those functions. And I could sachet that into the discussion with older students. For example, with this slide here, we know that from a technical standpoint, extroversion or introversion will influence sensing, intuition, thinking, or feeling. But with younger students, that's not really the goal. I'll start with E&I preferences. You can have two people that are the same, possibly the same temperament, and have different approaches. We look at Pooh. The students all say they see Pooh as an introverted orange or an introverted artisan. And they see Tigger as an extroverted artisan. And then we talk about, okay, well, what do you think if you're more introverted or if you're more extroverted, what are some of the ways that you prefer to do business? How do you prefer to interact with your friends? How do you prefer to work? Same thing with, say, Pinky and the Brain there. That one is a great discussion on sensation and intuition. Which one is more abstract? Which one uses big words and talks about really complex things? And which one is down to earth? And then also with the thinking and the feeling, who's always happy? Who is always looking out for his buddy? Again, it gets the students talking. And once they become familiar with those terms, then it makes it a little easier, again, like I said, to start looking at how those things work in a more in-depth sense as they get older. One of the other things that I'll do at this time is I will have what they call a ticket out the door for instruction. Your day is not done until you give me on a sheet of paper the name of one or two characters, and then you have to tell me what you think their true color is and whether or not you think they're abstract or if you think they're down to earth, if you think they're touchy-feely, or if you think they're a thinker. And then it gives me more of an idea of the characters from either from literature or from television that the students can relate to. Because each generation has their own, and this is a safe way to talk about things that bother you or things that you need to, because you're not pointing fingers at somebody else. You're talking about the characters and their scenarios.
When you make it more personal, when you get people to type characters, they're more likely to remember what you taught them. So I think this is a good way to get kids involved in personality theory. So yeah, you're hacking that.
Well, again, like I said, I when you look at discussions online, many times people will disagree about characters. And I'll say it doesn't matter that they disagree. They're having the conversation, and through that conversation, they're getting a lot out of it. They're getting perspective from other people and maybe a different way to look at those, to look at the interaction, to look at the character. And I do emphasize with them, there's no right or wrong. Their people are just who they are, but there may be a right way or a wrong way to interact with a person. Whenever you have two characters, just like we have with Pinky and the Brain here, and this is what like with the other Disney these Disney characters here, these are, in my opinion, some of the easier ways also to, once you have discussed it, say this way, to look at cognitive function theory, possibly. With Scar, when I ask the kids what they think his type is, they usually will say, well, he's really shrewd. And they'll say, I think he's a green because he's always analyzing. And then I'll say, well, what do you think the second characteristic is? If the second characteristic is gold, then that suggests NJ. If the second characteristic in their opinion is orange, it suggests NP. And for older students, they start to break that down. And again, just to have the conversation. And then with Simba, I'm not sure if that is Simba. Yeah, I think that's adult Simba. It's very similar to that. Most of the times they'll say, okay, that when he was little, he seemed like he was more of an orange. He seemed like he was more of an artisan. But now that he's an adult, he has to take the role of the king. Again, the orange and the gold are both very concrete. And so that tells them, okay, that he's probably has a sensing preference. And again, not looking for right or wrong, just looking for the discussion and to keep them thinking about the characters and how they were written as a lens to understand personality theory.
Yeah, if someone picks up the SP orange card and later they pick up the NF blue card, then you can tell that they're probably an artisan who's an SFP.
Yes, what that's it. Exactly. And you're doing all of that within the fun, like I said, and it's a fun, easy way of, like I said, sorting. And then they can back you, like I said, there's other little tests that you can use to back it up. Personality Lingo provides a paper pencil test. True Colors International also has a test. They have theirs online, but with True Colors, they usually want you to buy the more in-depth results, which is great. It works well with adults, but when it comes to schools, it was with Personality Lingo, I'm able to, as an instructor, use the digital materials for the students that I work with. I can't go out and mass, give them all out and mass produce them, but I can use them for that. And so that's one of the things that I like. And again, very non-invasive. Easy. Now, every now and then I will get, and it's usually an NT. There's more than four personalities. And I was like, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll pull this out. And this is the result of having had that happen a few times. And I'll say, okay, now let's look at True Colors. You have 24 spectrum combinations that you could possibly have. Based on the numbers alone, you have six possible two color blends. You have four possible three color blends. That's if they have an equal score. Now, this is with the written test. If you have an equal score for green and gold, then we would call you a green gold blend. So three, if it's three or that you have equal, then of course that would be, green, gold, orange, whatever it is. And then when you look at the no numerical values, there are 24 permutations per rows. And this is usually what gets them, which basically means you have 4,096 possible combinations without even considering introversion or extroversion in the equation. And so I say to them, your teacher has 180 days. You have 180 days together with your peers. Do you think that a teacher has time to learn all of the details about 4,096 individual personality types? Or do you think it would be easier to start with the four and then maybe add a little something on later when you start to notice that things may not, there's just, okay, we. Something's just a little bit off. I can't figure it out. And then breaking those things down and maybe going to eight. And then when you get to the high school, looking at the 16 that are very popular because they cover people reasonably well, it usually stops them in the tracks because they realize nobody wants to have to be responsible to learn 4,096 different profiles. We're just looking at characteristics, and we also have to recognize things can change over time. The measure, you're always who you are, but your measure on this may change. That's why we don't want you to worry so much about that. We want you to look at these individually and then how they work together when combined, but not worry about the numbers.
That's a really good way of combating, oh, it's putting me in a box. It's actually not. Like, if you look at the larger spectrum, it's a huge spectrum. So, yeah.
And there's a slide that I have in my main presentation where I have like a hexadecimal scale, and I will show them that there does come a point where colors may vary by one or two little numbers, but sitting right next to each other, standing back, they look very close. You have to really get up close to notice the difference. And that's come and that you getting up close in the real world is having conversations and building relationships with people. And so that's when you start to notice those differences. But it's a good idea if you know ahead of time. And I remember going back to my son, him telling me, I think he was getting ready to go to middle school. And he said, oh, I've got this down. I'm like, what do you mean you have it down? He said, if you have a blue teacher, you be nice, you be polite, you use your manners and ask how their day is. If you have a gold teacher, just follow the directions the first time. If you follow directions, they're cool. And if you have an orange teacher, you got to participate. They love group activities and everybody's got to be on their A game. And he said, and if you have a green teacher, use big words because they're nerds and they like that stuff. And I loved it because I thought he thinks he's mastered a system. What he's doing is giving people what they want and what they need. I threw this slide in here because I wanted to just make this point. Although Myers-Briggs and Big Five are not exactly the same, there's a lot of connection between the two. I've always felt that the Big Five is Myers-Briggs with neuroticism added, but that's a whole other conversation. But you'll notice that in shows that have five principal characters, you'll also see similar traits. Whatever their highest trait is on their spectrum will be reflected in there. So this is something that I could see being done with almost any type of personality tool that you would use with students. And I wanted to also share with you that I mentioned it earlier, that we have many books in education that cover the cognitive functions. They just don't call them the cognitive functions as we know them. They'll give them another term. But when you look at how you should approach or work with the students, and then you take out any of the modern day adaptations of cognitive functions, as whether it's from Myers or Kersey doesn't really quite have it, but Dario Nardi, Linda Behrens, you'll see, interesting. It's the same theory, just sort of repackaged. This book here from Unstoppable, Underestimated to Unstoppable, was something that one our curriculum director told me about, and I ordered it. She loved it. And as I was going through, I thought, I know this theory. Again, it's in education, just in a different form.
A lot of personality theory out there is just recycled Myers-Briggs everywhere.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and what she did was she took Jung's work. And if you go back to his work that's translated, I would say Jung, Vanderhoof probably is a little easier to read. And Gifts Differing, they mentioned Vanderhoof. But when you look at what they did, they gave a tool for interpreting and understanding that work. And yeah, it's impacted everything. I do find myself, I get a little frustrated at times when people will say, oh, no, that's not that. No. And I'm thinking to myself, but you use it. You just don't know. When you look at divergent and convergent thinking, what is that? Let's think about that. You know, there's several terms that are like that. Also, this book here, Differentiation, Making Differentiation a Habit. When I started going through this, I thought, this is one in particular that I was like, wait a minute, that's cognitive functions repackaged. They're not going to say it like that, but that's okay. So I said, yeah, it's definitely, it's got its place. And it can be, like I said, it can be fun, it can be simple, and it can be accessible to students without tracking them. But again, like I said, empowering them.
I really think it's fantastic that you're bringing type to people who are in school. Learning this kind of information early on allows them to understand diversity on a level that they'll carry throughout life. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, you just gave me goosebumps. There, I will tell you something. Invariably, it will be a girl at the high school with introverted intuition as a primary reference that will come up and ask for more. And so I usually make sure that I have a couple of these when I do a larger workshop with them, because they're the ones that I think suffer the most. And I think that's why you also have a disproportionate number of INFJs and INTJs in typologies. They realized from a very young age, they're a little different. Not sure why, but this, again, gives them the tool. So to me, if we can get the younger students, again, being able to express themselves in a way that other people understand through a common, simple language that addresses, like you said, diversity, neurodiversity. I said, you know, it can, in my mind, it can only be a good thing.
Excellent. And so on that note, thank you, Sabrina, for coming out.
You're so welcome.
And for sharing your knowledge on the four colors and how it relates back to MBTI and the temperaments that Kierzy mentions. And so, yes, as a fellow person who enjoys Kierzy's work, I like your expansion onto it and how you make it accessible to people as well. Typology is a tool that can change the world, especially if people are able to be given exposure to it. And so you're able to give people the tool that they'll use to navigate their lives with. And it's a blessing and it's a gift. And it might take some of the students some time to realize it, but once they go onto the world, mm-hmm. they have to go into more relationship mm-hmm. or interpersonal dynamics or work relationships. They'll realize how invaluable knowing personality is to getting along with people that are different than you.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So you provide people that ability to be able to interact with people who are wildly different than them and to not only tolerate the neurodiversity, but to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. And I'll see you all in the next video. Take care. Mm-hmm.